some good shit.
Praise God. It's great to be here again. We've been having a great time so far with the singles, and this evening we're going to hang out with the married folks. Praise God. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm happy. I love marriages. I like to see marriages thriving. And my prayer is that, I know many of you already have great marriages, but every marriage can still improve. So my prayer for you is that it will get sweeter and sweeter. It will get deeper and deeper. It will get stronger and stronger in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you love Pastor Uche and Pastor Chichi? Can we appreciate them? Thank you for putting this together. Praise God. Amen. You may please take your seat. I love when pastors invest in marriages and couples because a lot of churches don't do it. And it tells in the quality of marriages they have.
Good evening, everybody. Well, thank you. Thank you. There's somebody that loves me over there. I haven't even said anything. She's already celebrating me. Praise God. Good evening, everybody. It's great to be here again. Thank you, Pastor Uche. Thank you, Pastor Chichi. We decided to do things a bit different with the couples. We plan to speak together tonight. So that we can balance each other out. And hopefully with all the questions and some of the other things we're going to do tonight, we'll set the tone for you to build greater intimacy in your homes and eventually have happier marriages.
All right, but before we go into the teaching or the speaking, we're going to have some little games. I want everybody to lighten up and warm up a bit. So the first thing we're going to do, I need one couple to volunteer. A couple. Volunteer. The man is saying
she volunteered on his behalf.
All right, I think you guys can come.
Can
come
we please up. Celebrate?
Put your hands together for them. Please come up. Yes, come upstairs. Can we get two mics? Is that possible? Please, let's keep clapping for them. Let's keep clapping for them. Please, what's your name?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Yes. What's your name? Senami. Which language is that?
Badago.
Wow, I like that. Senami. Great. Okay, so the mics, yes. Are you nervous? You people know them. I shouldn't have taken them. If people know that they are people that are game, they like game. I don't want those kind of people, though. They are too ready. Say, for me now, I'm not anxious. Okay, so the game is simple. I didn't do the 1 minute one. Yeah, that's better. 1 minute. Okay. So, can I get a timer?
For 1 minute.
Let it be on the screen so that everybody can see it. So, I don't want to tell you on time. Let them put the timer first before I tell you what you're going to do. And you're going to go immediately. I won't give you so much time to prepare. It's easy. Something you guys will do well.
But you have to first of all face each other.
You have to face each other, yes.
And look into each other's eyes. Men always do this. They look into each other's eyes. The man looks everywhere but...
Yes. When I speak tomorrow, I'll speak about the differences. Men don't do well with connecting face-to-face. Men do better with connecting side-by-side. So face-to-face is not our thing. But I'll explain all that tomorrow. All right. Women love face-to-face. This is why if you don't talk to them willingly, you talk to them by quarrel. But this talking, we must talk it. All right. But women love face-to-face. So timer, guys. Okay. The timer, they have to see the timer. Can we do it on the... Can it come on the screen here? Is that possible? Or any of the screens? It's not possible.
It's not possible.
Okay, so...
We'll watch the timer.
We're going to be timing for you then. It's just 1 minute. What are you going to do? Who wants to go first? I don't want to give you too much ahead. But so you agree? But it's not fair. I think the man should go first.
Why? He's the leader. He's the head of the home.
Okay, so you have 1 minute. You are going to say, I love you because, and you tell us one reason why you love her. As many reasons
as you can fit
into 1 minute.
And you have to be looking at her where you're saying it all the while.
And the rule is that, Senami, you can't repeat anything he says when it's your turn. Yes, you must say, come up with your own things. So, are you ready, Ma?
Okay.
Timer, are you ready? Because you're going to go immediately he goes. Are you ready? One, two, Go.
Well, I love you. I love you because of your eyes. I love you because you are very, very beautiful. I love you because you have been a good mother to my children and our children. I love you because you are a very tenacious woman. I love you because you are committed. I love you because you have grown from that young girl that I met over 20 years ago. I love you because you are a superstar. I love you because I am always proud of you. I love you because you are every woman's dream. I love you because God has a purpose, and there he's taking you.
Okay.
Beautiful. Can we appreciate
Ten.
Him? How many was he able to fit in?
10.
You were not counting?
It was 10. Was 10. Was it 9?
There was one that he
was
said
10.
In between.
Yes,
the Okandashimna, because he tried. So he was able to do 10. Yes, at the beginning, the speaker said, with that, 10.
I'm giving you one more 10.
Selami, are you ready? All right, go. Wait, hold on. Time, are you ready? I'm not seeing the timer. Time, I'm giving her time to think. All right, are you ready? Go.
I love you because you cover me. I love you because you secure me. I love you because you did not leave. I love you because you're staying in this with me together. I love you because you support my every walk. I love you because you support my every dream. I love you because you've walked every single step with me, by me. I love you because you're always behind me. I love you because you have loved me like a father and like a brother. I love you because you have loved me like no one else has ever done. I love you because I can trust you. I love you because you give me confidence to be the woman
I
that God has called me to be.
Yes.
How many have we counted so far? 7? 12? I told the woman, that's why I wanted her to go first. Because all the while he was going, she had time to prepare. That's why I didn't. But let's put our hands together for them. Well done. Well done. Praise God. Okay. I want another couple to volunteer. Another couple to volunteer. Are you ready? Jonah, come. This time, what you are going to do, we're not going to give you 1 minute. You are going to, yeah, anybody, come on stage. I still need the mics. You're going to do it as fast as you can, but you're not going to just come up. You do one after the other. So if you say one, I love you, you reply with one, I love you. You can't repeat yourselves. Whoever gets tired first, whoever runs out of what to say, is the loser. But there's no loser, amen. All right, are you ready? How long have you married?
1 year.
1 year plus. It's super shocking you now. How long were you guys married for? How long have you married for? 20 years. Wow. Amazing. Can we appreciate them? Well done. Well done. All right, are you ready? You know the rules. So you say one, he says one.
Okay.
Then you say one, he says one. Yes,
yes,
one person
but the
gives
thing
up,
is, you can't
think
pause to think about it. You can't.
Yeah,
if you
pause,
do, that means you've lost.
Once you pause,
you
have
to.
You must go. Are you ready? Who wants to start?
The guy started the first time.
Yes, so let the woman start. This guy is a strategist. He's a strategist. I have 1, 2, go.
I love you because you're a good friend.
Oh, I love you because you're beautiful.
I love you because you're a lover boy.
I love you because you're spiritual.
I love you because you're patient with me.
I love you because you're smart.
I love really the smart. Way you talk to me.
Oh, I love the way you touch me.
He has repeated what she said. You repeated what she said.
No.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I love you because of your smile.
I love you because you are gorgeous.
I love you because you're taller than me.
I love the way you relate to people.
I love that you're kind to others.
I love the way you preach.
I love the way you pray.
Let's put our hands together for them. Well done, well done, well done. Women are way. I don't miss women people, eh? Thank you, guys. Praise God. All right, so we'll do another thing. But I just wanted us to lighten up a bit. But you know that game is not that easy. You have to remember everything. How you look. The first 3 will be okay. After that, Praise God. It's a game you can play, I hope. All right. Yes. So,
okay.
The next one. Yes.
Okay. So, before we speak, we wanted to also help you. There's something we call a marriage health check. So, we're not going to do the full thing, but we want to help you check some areas of your marriage that you feel may be working or that you can do better at. And there are certain areas that we feel are very important. So, for instance, we want to start with the communication and intimacy test. Okay? So what you're going to do is pull out something, maybe your phone or something you can write with.
A notepad or whatever.
Anything that you can quickly write with.
When we come again another time, we'll probably plan the more elaborate one, and it'll be digital so that you can get the full answer soon. But for now, we just want to do a quick make.
Pastor Uche, in case you didn't notice, he just invited himself back. Okay, so are we ready?
Is everybody ready? You have to have something to write. If you're a phone person, fine. If you want to do notepad, fine. But should you write the number?
No, so you just write the number and write the option. So it's multiple choice. So if your answer is A, write A. Just write the number and write A.
So number one, A. Number two, B.
Yes.
Should you write the number one to what? Is the first one?
Just walk with me, okay? Just five questions for communication and intimacy. So the first question, how often do you go on date nights? A, once a week. B, once a month. C, once a quarter. D, what is date night? So just pick one, okay? Number two, are we good? Okay. Number two, do you communicate with your spouse during the day? A, yes, I call or text. B, no, I wait till we get home. C, we're not even talking as we speak. So is it A, B, or C? Number three, when something happens, whether good or bad, who do you call first? A, your spouse. B, your friend. C, your sibling. D, your mother or your father. Number four, do you plan getaway trips? Do you plan getaway trips? A, yes. B, no. C, I don't have time or money for that. And number five. Please be honest when you're answering. The answers are really for you to check. It's not even necessarily for your partner. It's for you.
Yeah.
Number five. Do you find it easy talking to your partner? A, yes, my spouse is very easy to talk to. B, no, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells around him or her. So, for the communication and intimacy test, if most of your answers are A, that means that your marriage is healthy. So let's move to sex test. So the first question, okay, is do you engage in one form of sexual activity every week? Like cuddling, kissing, fondling, caressing, yes or no? So just write yes or no. Okay. Number two, remember every week. Number two, are you comfortable with initiating sex? A, sometimes. B, always. C, rarely. D, never. Are we good or do I need to take it again? We're good. Mm-hmm. Did someone say take it again? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Are you comfortable with initiating sex? A, sometimes. B, always. C, rarely. D, never.
Say the truth and shame the devil.
Number three. How often do you have sex as a couple? A, at least once a week. B, at least once a month. C, at least once in 3 months. D, others, just specify by yourself.
Not others you're having sex with, I mean.
Oh,
others.
Wow.
Sorry, that was not the right joke.
Number four. Do you think you're sexually satisfied in your marriage? Yes or no? Number five. Are you open to trying new sexual positions? A, yes, I like to try something new. I like to keep it interesting. B, no, why fix something that is not broken? C, blood of Jesus. So pick A, B, or C. For this result, if most of your answers are yes or A, that means that your sex life is healthy. Okay. Let's look at conflict resolution. This is the last one we'll do because of time.
Pastor Chichi, what are you saying there? Whatever you said must be naughty.
If there's a conflict, number one, do you insult each other? Answer yes or no. When you're upset, you're fighting, do you insult each other? Yes or no. Number two, do you involve your parents? Yes or no. Number three, would you be opposed to involving your pastor or a counselor? Yes or no. Would you rather sweep it under the carpet? Yes or no. Number five, do you raise your voices at each other? Yes or no. Number six, have you ever hit each other? Yes or no. Number seven, are you uncomfortable with sitting down and talking about the issue? Yes or no.
Did everybody get that, or she's too fast?
I'm too fast. Wait, sorry. I'm also managing time.
Yeah,
okay.
Some of us are not fast.
Okay, so I'll run through again. Number one, do you insult each other when you have a conflict? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you involve your parents? Yes or no? Number three, would you be opposed to involving your pastor or a counselor? Yes or no? Are we good so far? Okay. Number four, would you rather sweep it under the carpet, or would you rather sweep it under the carpet, or we talk about it? Yes or no. Number five, do you raise your voices at each other when you're fighting? Yes or no. Number six, have you ever hit each other? Yes or no. Number seven, are you uncomfortable with sitting down and talking about the issue? Yes or no. Are you uncomfortable with apologizing first? Yes or no. So if all your answers are no, then your conflict resolution is very healthy in your marriage. Okay? Were we able to help anyone? Were you able to do a self-assessment? Are you more angry? You're not answering again. We're not supposed to talk about these kind of things. Let's just preach and make everybody happy and go away. But these things are important. I really wish we had the time. We would have run a full health check for you. But these things are important. Finances, your spiritual life, things like that are important to help you know whether your marriage is working. You know, the problem we have sometimes is that we're in a marriage and we're focused on the marriage, not the relationship. So the marriage is us doing things together, raising children together, running the family together. But the relationship, are we friends? Do we enjoy being together? Do I want to be with you, or do I just want to do this business of... So marriage is now like a chore, okay? And even though marriage is work, we shouldn't make it feel like work. So that's the whole point to things like this. Because sometimes you can be so carried away with the running of marriage that you don't actually stop to look at the health of your marriage. Are we really happy together? Are we enjoying being together? Or are we just together because of children? So what happens when the children leave? Because they will leave. And you'll just be stuck with each other. Is you're going to work an escape from your wife? Is it an escape from your spouse? If you're not talking to your spouse and you're talking to other people, it means you can communicate, but you're not communicating with each other. So it's important that we do things like this so that you can take time and assess. And the test results are not for us, they're for you. We don't even need to know what your answers are. But the answers are for you. Sometimes not even for your partner if you're not in that place. It's for you to look at and decide on the changes that you're going to make.
Okay. So today basically what we are discussing is intimacy. We're going to start by reading a scripture, then we'll build it from there. We're going to talk about intimacy. Why is intimacy important? Why is intimacy important? Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. DJ, you know I need your help today, so. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 23. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 23. I want people to be able to see it. Oh, okay. It says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what?
One flesh.
I can't hear you. They shall be what?
One flesh.
I really can't hear you. They shall be what?
One flesh.
One flesh. He says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not what?
Ashamed.
If you don't mind, I would like us to read it together, everybody, this particular scripture. So start again from where I started, the 23 to 25. So I want us to read together, everybody. One, two, go. Why is intimacy important? Intimacy is important because the whole concept of marriage is built for intimacy. Two people becoming one. Intimate means into my mate. It means both of us getting into each other. Some people call it intimacy, into me, you see. The important thing is that it is two people actually becoming one. That is the mystery of marriage. If two people come together and still remain two, it has literally defeated the whole purpose of doing marriage. Unfortunately for us, you know, we build marriages around a lot of other things except our partner. Many people build their marriages around having kids. Many people build their marriages around being influential. Many people build their marriages around enhancing their career or businesses. We are building it around every other thing except the main thing it's supposed to be built around, which is two people becoming one. The two shall become one flesh. That word flesh means person. So what they are saying is that two people, we actually become so synchronized, so connected, so joined, that they become one person. They become one both spiritually, mentally, and physically. They become one person. And intimacy is the most... Any marriage can survive anything if there's intimacy. Marriages don't fail because of the challenges we think. They fail because of a lack of intimacy. It's not another thing that makes marriage fail. It's because of a lack of intimacy. Any marriage can survive infertility if there's intimacy. Any marriage can survive infidelity if there's intimacy. Any marriage can survive insufficient funds if there's intimacy. Any marriage can survive interference if there's intimacy. What is lacking is not is intimacy. The marriage didn't break because of the interference. The interference thrived because there was no intimacy. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's very normal, and it happens where one of the in-laws don't like somebody. All those things are not strong enough to break a marriage. What actually allowed that thing to thrive is because there was no intimacy. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Infertility can't break any home. It's the lack of intimacy. It's because you don't see yourselves joined that made you feel that because we don't have kids, we can separate. Intimacy can make any marriage thrive. And that is where the real blessings of marriage begins to happen. When you are able to build intimacy. And that's what I want to take the short time we have today to talk about. If you can build intimacy, you can walk through any challenge you have. If you can build intimacy. So we're going to use an acronym today titled INTIMATE. Because what we're talking about is getting intimate. So we're going to use an acronym titled INTIMATE. We're going to use all the letters there to tell you about how to build intimacy. So I'll take one, she'll take one. All right. Number one. But basically, what does intimacy mean? It means a deep connection and closeness. So it's just basically two becoming one, okay, in summary. So number one is I, which stands for, do I have slides, guys? I don't know where he's pointing to. Okay, number one is intentional. We're using the acronym INTIMATE. I is intentional. So listen, guys, you cannot build intimacy without being intentional. What many people assume is that when the Bible says you will live and cleave and become one, they think it is automatic. That's what they assume. That once they just join us on the altar, once Pastor Ocho says, say I do, and you say I do, that we just automatically become one. Not at all. What happens here is a ceremony. The process of becoming one is something both of you need to work on. So it has to be intentional. You cannot achieve intimacy without intentionality. You cannot achieve intimacy without intentionality. So the question, see, no marriage breaks just ordinarily. People drift apart. That's what happens. If you are not consciously moving closer to each other, you are already drifting apart. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If you are not consciously moving closer to each other, you are already, as I'm speaking, drifting apart. Somebody asked me that, can love die? Of course, love can die. Love can grow and love can die. As powerful as fire is, fire needs something to burn. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. As powerful as fire is, if there's nothing for fire to burn, after it does, it's going to go off. It needs something to burn. That's how the passion of marriage is. Without intentionality, no matter how that marriage started, the love will die. So you must be intentional. What happens to a lot of couples? We have a book that we titled, You Don't Need a New Spouse. What we discovered, Pastor, is that a lot of people that start marriage, when they're excited, they start. But along the line, after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, they start thinking, maybe I married the wrong person. And they start thinking, I need a new spouse. And we try to address in that book, you don't need a new spouse. What you need is a new commitment, a new passion to your old spouse. Because what happened to you is that when you started the relationship, you started emotionally. It was emotional love. Everything was automatic. You were making sacrifices. If you notice, when you started, you were doing all the right things, but you were not doing it consciously. You were making sacrifices. I used to say, if your fiancé then lived in Jos or in Kaduna, Abuja to Kaduna will be very close. You see, like, weekend, you're going to run down to Jos. You're going to run down to Kaduna. If you're in Lagos, you're going to run down to Ibadan to go and see the person. It's not feeling far, but right now, after many years of marriage, to even go from the bedroom to the parlor, it's far. What has happened? At the beginning, it was emotional love. And what will make a marriage last is for you to go from emotional love to intentional love. So what is the difference? When it was emotional love, you were doing all the right things, but you were not doing it consciously. When it's intentional love, you will still do all the right things, but now you are doing it intentionally. So you are making sacrifices now consciously. Before, you were making sacrifices unconsciously. So that's why both of you fell in love and got married. But you stopped doing it at a point. So you have to start again to become intentional. Good couples are compatible by chance. Great couples are compatible by choice. All right? Good couples are compatible by chance. So they just mistakenly like some things and they do those. No. But great couples begin to now do things intentionally together. All right? So the first key is to be intentional. Be intentional about knowing them, be intentional about meeting them, be intentional about spending time. All right?
Okay. So the second thing when it comes to getting intimate is meeting each other's needs. So the next one is N, needs. The truth is that we're usually responsive to people who give to us. It's one of the reasons why we're intimate with God. He meets all our needs. In fact, if you think about it, if God does something for you in particular, that week you will come up with new names for him.
Yes.
It's Jehovah El Ephesi, the God who is always on time.
Yeah.
You know, you come up with new, and you feel closer to him because he has met a need, probably a pressing need, maybe one you didn't even... You know, you didn't know that, you didn't think that he would meet. So it's the same thing when it comes to building intimacy in your marriage. You must be responsive to each other's needs. Meet needs, emotional needs, physical needs, mental needs, spiritual needs. There are things that your partner needs. If you are consistent in meeting those needs, you'll find yourselves getting closer and more intimate. And one of the ways to know how to meet your partner's needs is to speak your partner's love language. One of the reasons why people seem to lack intimacy and it becomes a big problem is that the woman has a need and she feels like her husband is not meeting it. But her husband feels like, I'm doing so much, you are just an ungrateful woman. She's not an ungrateful woman. You are doing a lot of things, but you are doing the wrong things. So you're putting a lot of effort in the wrong thing. So she may be the kind of person who gifts is not her love language, but you are always buying her gifts. And you feel she's ungrateful because you are buying gifts, but she wants quality time. I'll give you a very simple example. When I went to have my son, my last baby, in the U.S., so Pastor K came with me. Usually he would drop us off, settle us, because I was with my other two, the girls. So he would drop us off and then he would leave and then come in between, visit till I've had the baby and then we go home together. And so he dropped me off. And it was the day before he was to leave. And I really wanted him to spend time with me because he was going to go and he'll be gone for at least a minimum of 2 weeks. So I knew that I needed him to spend time with me. He woke up that morning and left very early in the morning. Got back around 3. Came into the house really happy. By that time, of course, I was grouchy. Remember, I'm pregnant. really feeling very unhappy with everything and the fact that he was leaving the next day. And so he came in really excited. Honey, come outside, I have a surprise for you. And so I dragged my very big fat self and followed him outside. And then he showed me car keys to a brand new car. And I was just looking at him. I was like, is your car? Like, okay. He said, you won't enter it. So I opened it, pushed the steering backwards so that my tummy could fit in, sat in reluctantly. He said, won't you drive it? I pressed the car, drove around the estate. I came back and he was really upset that I just spent money to buy you a brand new car, blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, if you had spent the day with me, I would have been okay. I wouldn't have been upset. Now, the thing was, he was trying to solve a problem because, you know, if you live in the U.S., you know you need a car to move around. But at the time, I wasn't thinking that. That was not the language I was speaking. The language I was speaking was, I want my husband to hold me. You are going tomorrow. So he was investing in the wrong thing. So it seemed like he wasn't doing anything. But in his book, he had spent time, energy, money, and he had thought ahead. Now, what he did was a good thing, but it wasn't what I needed. So if we didn't address it, we didn't sit down to talk about it, what will happen is that he will feel this girl is ungrateful, and I will feel this guy is insensitive, and we'll just go our separate ways. What you see, what intimacy does is, at that time when he understood what my need was, he explained to me that I was trying to meet another need, but since I know this is what you need, he stayed with me, we talked, and really, at that time, I felt like everything in the world was okay because he was holding me. Now, for some other person, that might be rubbish. Why are you coming to sit down here with me? Go and buy a car. I am about to give birth to your first and only son. You better buy car and land and all kinds of things. But you see, that's why when it comes to intimacy, you have to meet the person's need. That's what intimacy is. You have to build on that person's need and work towards fulfilling that need. Once you do that, you will find that you're getting closer. Every time someone meets a need that you have, you'll find yourself being drawn towards that person. So if you want to build intimacy, if you want to get intimacy, focus on meeting each other's needs.
All right. So, and for you to meet each other's needs, you need to know the needs. All right. So maybe you could quickly send a WhatsApp message to your spouse with your top three needs. Because sometimes people are meeting needs that nobody send them
like this
to go and meet. So be sure you're meeting your needs. Some of you, your partners want more sex. That is just it. All right? Tell them, Pastor K said, you should meet that need.
So are we going to give tonight them time to quickly do that?
To meet the need now? No. We're in church. Oh, Jesus Christ. What's wrong with this woman? Bring your mind back. I can't do it. They should go outside now. I'm going to meet that need. Where is church?
This is what I deal with.
God. Praise God. So number next.
To the pure, all things are pure. So I was asking a pure question. Are we going to give them time to send that message of what need they need met?
Oh, yeah, take 1 minute now to send. If you know your top three needs, quickly send the WhatsApp message. If you're not married, send it to Jesus. He's the one that promised to meet all your needs. Okay, so but it's important you communicate because you really can't go ahead meeting the needs without knowing what the needs are. All right? It's very important. So that is what? T. T. T stands for trust. You really can't build intimacy because intimacy is like having a large dependence on another person. So you can't build it without trust. In a lot of homes, trust has been broken or trust does not exist. So it is totally impossible to build that intimacy without trust. I told you guys, I told them one of the sessions we had earlier that I canceled someone that said he must never allow his wife know or his wife to be, she was there, whatever my dad, his wife to be to know how much he earns. All right, say you never allow it, that it will cause see finish and other things like that. And I'm saying, look, if you are intimidated, if you are trying to build a marriage on falsehood, on deceit, on hiding things, it will not work because trust is one of the pillars that you can't do without in your marriage. So, all right, it's important to build trust. You can't, if I lean on you and you move and I fall, it's going to be difficult for me to lean on you again. All right, and that's what's happening in a lot of homes because trust has been broken and trust has not been rebuilt. In case you are here and trust has ever been broken, you need to consciously rebuild it. Don't just think it will go away. It will take time to rebuild it and to let that trust come back. So trust is a very vital thing. Do you trust each other? All right? If you are, let me say this, there are two ways you can build trust, especially if you have broken it before. There are two ways you can build it. Number one is by transparency. Transparency. So remember they said they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Transparency. If you are not ready to be naked, you see, you can't keep hiding things and want to build trust. The whole idea of trust is that you are naked and not ashamed. Open. So if you are here and you are passwording phone, you have buried trust. Trust is in the mortuary or in the cemetery. If you are high passwording your phone, what possibly can you be hiding? You see, that is a breach of trust. He said they were both naked. I didn't write that. He said they were both naked, the man and his wife. There's a reason they said that. It means they had nothing to hide. They were willing to expose themselves, hiding things like your phone, hiding money, hiding emails, hiding stuff. It's a proof that there is no trust. You can't build real intimacy without transparency. You can't build intimacy without transparency. So, hey, let your spouse know your password. Let your spouse have access to your accounts. Let them know what is going on in your life. Hiding things will never build intimacy. Number two way you build trust is by integrity. That is keeping your word. All right? If you say you are going to so-and-so place, let that be where you are. Every time you break your word, you break trust. And it makes it more difficult. So make sure you keep your word. If you say, I will never do this again, or I'm going to do this, let it be that you keep your word. All right? Building trust. There's something about having somebody you can totally trust with your life. There's something about it. Having somebody on the earth that you can be 100% naked with and not be ashamed. All right? So that's the third thing. Trust is part of how you build intimacy.
The next one is which is interest. If you're going to build intimacy, one of the things you must do is get involved in each other's interests. It's one of the easiest ways to build friendship. And we all know by now that the real work in marriage is maintaining your friendship. It's really friendship. It's not the sex. It's not the bills we pay together. It's not even the children that we're raising together. It is the friendship. Making sure that you guys are enjoying being together. That's the real work of marriage. So you have to be interested in each other's interest. You have to enjoy each other's interest. You have to do something that you both enjoy. Okay? The interesting thing is that there may be times that you have to make sacrifices. So I will give you examples. When I first got married, even though he still teases me about it till tomorrow, he says I deceived him. I did not. But my husband is very different. Very different from me. He's extroverted. And he likes dangerous things, for lack of a better way to explain it. So he wants to go bungee jumping, he wants to go skydiving, he wants to go on fastest roller coaster in the world. He wants to, all those kind of things are the things that he finds interesting. Now, I'm normally, like I explained yesterday, I'm the kind of person, that's if you were around yesterday, I'm the kind of person who wants to be in my house and not have anyone with me in my house. You know, I always planned to be the kind of pastor who nobody knew where I lived. That was my plan and my dream and my goal in this marriage. However, I'm married to somebody that I have to submit to, so it didn't quite pan out the way I planned. So he's very extroverted. He likes those kind of adventurous things, and I'm not like that. And I knew that if I was going to say, I'm not the way he is, so he should face his interests, I'll face mine, our intimacy would be, in fact, we would have no intimacy. Because one of the ways you build intimacy is to find something that both of you enjoy doing and keep at it. That's the way you build intimacy. So at the beginning, he rides power bikes as well. He likes, so basically very adventurous. And I'm not. I just, give me a good book. I'm okay, my house. So my husband would just wake up, and he's a night person. I'm not. So 9 p.m., literally, I've shut down. Anything you're telling me after 9 o'clock is at your own risk. He would say at 11, my husband would tap me and say, Oni, let's go and buy ice cream on the island. I'll say at this time of night, we'll just, no worry, we'll just blow bike. We'll just take a spin. And at the time, we didn't have kids.
So that was one of the things that really helped us build intimacy. We didn't have kids. I didn't have anybody to worry about, just two of us. So I just grabbed my helmet and just get on the bike. And I found out that doing those things with him was making him so happy. And he really wanted to spend time with me. He didn't have to go and look for the guys. He wanted to go bike riding. He would call me. Even when he likes football as well, he's a serious card-carrying Man City fan. So, all the latest jerseys, everything, like, if you want to make Pastor K happy, live matches. So even then, I'd be pregnant, big tummy, I would have to go to the stadium abroad just to go and watch. I will be walking around, and he's really excited. So, is this where Aguero's dressing this thing is? Is this where? And I'll just feel him about, like, and they'll be telling me, And I found out that it kind of made us closer, because if he wants to gist about the things he's interested in, he will gist with me about them. And interestingly, I like very boring things. So, for instance, I'm a Christmas movie kind of girl. You know those movies that you watch and anywhere you meet it, you understand it. Nobody's dead. Nobody's unhappy. Nothing. You know, everybody's happy. And we know the storyline. We know this person, we meet this person, we fall in love with this person. Then they will upset the person. We know. But we are still okay watching it. And initially, you know, he didn't understand. So he would just confirm and say, nobody has died. And nobody will die. Say, they never shoot anybody. No. He will go, he will come back. So what has happened? I say, nothing. No, they're just... But after a while, he found out that he had to... Now he watches them sometimes. And I know that he's not really watching it. But he's just... He's just there with me. And that's enough for me. You know, that those things make us closer. So he's watching some series with me. And he asked me, oh, did this person, so what happened with this person? And I'm telling him, and he's going, I know he's not really this. But the fact that he's interested in what I'm interested in has warmed my heart towards him and has made us closer. So we always have things to talk about because we enjoy the same things. We enjoy movies. So when we go date nights and things like that, we do things that we both enjoy, we're both interested in. And I had to learn some of them. I normally wouldn't go bike riding. But I've gone bike riding with him all the way to, what's that place?
Hafit Mountains.
Now, don't do this at home. If you are not adventurous, don't do it. It's so crazy that mountain is so thin that if you're on a bike, you have to bank. Like, you have to literally almost touch the ground to pass. And it's only one person that can pass at a time. And when he was doing this, I was just asking myself, I said, God, how did I get here? But he was so happy. And then after that, he was even bragging to his friends that, my wife, anything, she's the coolest. Like, I was praying in tongues all the way. I'm praying in tongues all the way back and just saying, Lord, let's just survive it. Let's just survive it. I don't know if I'll do this again, but let's survive it. And I mean, I can share a million stories. When we went to Abu Dhabi, what's the name of Ferrari World in Abu Dhabi, fastest roller coaster in the world. Those kind of things are the things he enjoys. And when so imagine him doing it with his guys and I'm not there. It won't be the same as today. We still have stories we gist about. And I tease him about how he was always excited to do those things. But when he gets on it, it's a different story. You know, so we have things we talk about because we have the same interest. So if you want to build intimacy, then focus on what each person enjoys and work on finding things you can do together.
Next one is M, because she has not been going back with me of late. Because she says she has children now, so she can't do all those risky things.
We have children now. Somebody has to stay alive for them.
M is managing your emotions. So the truth is that at the end of the day, the battle is not between you and Satan. It's actually between you and your emotions. In having a successful marriage, the battle is not between you and Satan. It's actually between you and managing your emotions. Marriages fail not because of inability, but because of unwillingness. It's more about unwillingness. That's what Jesus called hardness of heart. It's more of unwillingness. So it's about a battle between you and your emotions. You being able to realize that even though your emotions are real, they are not always right. God never designed emotions to guide us or lead us. He never designed it that way. It's just human beings that have now submitted themselves to their feelings instead of submitting themselves to God's will. You choose who you yield to. You need to understand that your emotions are not your God. Your emotions are not the person or the thing that directs you. All right? Very important. So if you are going to build intimacy, you must learn to manage your emotions. It's a battle between you and your emotions. So that's why you hear, I don't love him anymore. What you actually mean is I don't feel love for him anymore. So you are subjecting yourself to feelings. And God never, there's nowhere in scripture, God says we must do what we feel. In fact, God said we should set our affections. We are meant to control how we feel. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So if you're going to build intimacy, you must learn to manage your emotions. What does this mean? You won't feel like all the time. You won't feel like doing the right thing all the time. You won't feel like being respectful to your husband. You won't feel like being loving to your wife. You won't feel like, nobody's ever going to tell you you will feel great all the time. I don't feel like doing things all the time. I've just learned how to subject myself to the Holy Spirit instead of to my emotional spirit. I've learned how to subject myself to the Holy Spirit. All right? So, if you're going to succeed in marriage, the way you put your emotions under is by putting the Holy Spirit on top. That's how it happens. I have a few things that can help you manage your emotions, but because that's not the main topic, I can't go into it fully. But the key is that be able to recognize when this is how I feel and this is what is right. You must separate those two. All right? Separate, this is how I feel. Nobody can tell you you can't feel what you feel. The only challenge comes when you think you need to submit and act in line with what you feel. That's when it's wrong. You can feel anything, but you are not meant to submit to it. You have the option of doing what is right and doing what you feel. Doing what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing what you feel. For instance, you will not always feel like having sex with your partner. You will not always feel like being kind. You will not always feel like serving your partner. But the day you can master the art of doing what you don't feel like, you will not only succeed in marriage, you will succeed in life. Somebody get what I'm saying? The number one key to succeeding in life is mastering how to do what you don't feel like. You see, marriage is not meant to make you happy. It's meant to make you better. Most things that make you better don't make you happy at the time. So, for instance, you are hungry. Chocolate or what's that green vegetable? That's like, no.
Broccoli.
Broccoli. So, you are hungry. Chocolate or broccoli? The answer is simple. Chocolate generally is more attractive. But which one is healthier?
Broccoli.
So, you see, if it's happy, you are looking for chocolate, is it? If it's better, you are looking for broccoli, is it? Exercise early in the morning or sleeping till you are ready to, whenever you are tired.
Sleep.
Happier will be sleep. Better will be what? Exercise. So people confuse happy and better. They are not always the same thing. They are different. So this is how you manage your emotions, by realizing what is better. What will make me better? Since I've been going to school, I've never felt like writing an exam. Never. Never felt like it. The day I open my own school, Pastor Oche, it will be the first examless school in the world. Just resume. When we are tired, we all go and rest from playing. And we come again after 2 months to resume. The first examless school. Only that is to produce the most useless people ever. Because we will not be good at what we do. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We don't feel like writing an exam. We don't feel like going to work. You see, Pastor, when it comes to emotions, we have mastered how to control it as regards every other thing except marriage. Because we know how to go to work when we don't feel like. We know how to take the children to school when we don't feel like. We are good at mastering it in every other area. But when it comes to your spouse, somehow you just feel, no, I'm not going to make the sacrifice in this area. I'm going to do what I feel like. Every other area of your life, you do what is right in spite of how you feel. If you have to go to work and you wake up and you don't feel like going to work, why are you sitting on the bed saying, oh, I don't feel like going to work today? Your body's in the bathroom. Having his bath. Say, you don't be there on the bed. Me, I've gone. You see, because you have mastered the art. You know that even though you feel like this, you don't have to obey it. You still need to do what's right. But when it comes to marriage, we've developed the art of just doing what we feel. And that is what's destroying marriages. You won't always feel like being kind. You won't always feel like being respectful. But as a woman, when you learn that respect is a major thing for your husband, in spite of how you feel, you will still maintain the respect. You as a man, when you don't feel emotional, I'm going to talk about that a bit tomorrow. Because as a man, you need to understand how emotional. Every man is emotional, just that your emotions is in one cubicle. The way we have this sound booth, that's how we have emotions in one booth in a man's brain. I'll show you diagrams tomorrow and all that if you have time. Men need to now learn how to go and let that emotions out. It's there. Most women complain that their husbands are not emotionally available. Because naturally, emotions doesn't come to us. The way a woman's brain is wired is not the same way a man's brain is wired. A woman's brain has emotion all through it. A man's brain has emotion only in one or two spots. This means a man can do many things without being emotional. This is why a man can even have sex without being emotional. He can do marriage without bringing emotional out. But for a woman, everything she does is going to be emotional. Because emotions are all over her brain. That's why a woman can turn something that is totally not emotional, make it emotional. She can be changing tire and be crying. You say, well, how does this relate to? I don't know. The tire just break down here. Because emotions, I'll show you diagram. I'm not making it up. It's scientifically proven. All right? So you need to understand that I might not feel emotional at this point. I don't feel like telling my wife, I love you. But I can unlock the emotions and let it express when I'm saying I love you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So the key is that you must master how you manage your emotions. There are three things you can do to manage it. There are more than three, but because of time, I'm going to mention three. Number one, way to manage your emotions is getting truth like you are getting today. Truth helps you to manage your emotions. Because the more you hear the truth, you learn. I wasn't emotionally available to my wife at the beginning. Trust me. The first 1 or 2 years of my marriage, I was a man's man. Like, he heard all the things she said. I ride motorbikes. I love football. I go to Etihad Stadium. I'm not a fan from Nigeria type. I go and watch match. I travel to go and watch matches. Even to other cities, apart from Manchester. I go to other cities. So I'm committed. They send me birthday card every year. I'm committed member. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm a man's man. I ride fast cars. I have a convertible fast car that I drive, you know. I'm everything men like to do. I'm just trying to show you. I used to carry a pistol from secondary school. I'm a rugged man's man. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when I got married, I'm totally unemotional. Because for men, marriage is very practical. It's not an emotional relationship. Adam did not marry because he was in love. Adam married because he needed help. It's a very functional relationship for a man. Women don't understand it. Men need you before they love you. Women love you before they need you. Do you understand? Men need you before they love you. Men fall in love when they need you. If they don't need you, they can't love you. Women, on the other hand, they first love you, then they need you. Most men, when a woman likes them, they think this is how it's going to be forever. No, she loves you first. Later, she'll start making demands. Now, you didn't call me. Say, was I going to be calling you? Yeah. She loves you first, then she needs you. She starts saying, my credit, my phone is bad. I need money. She will not start needing you. But first, she first loves you, and you think this is how it's going to be forever. No, she will soon need you. But men from beginning start from needing you, then eventually they start loving you. So when I first got married, I was very serious. If she's crying, I said, why are you crying? How does crying solve? Because this is how men think. We're not emotionally available. Most men can't handle when a woman is crying. You're crying. How does crying now solve this problem? We're pragmatic. But you see, as a man, when you're dealing with a woman, you must bring the balance. If she's crying, you must know what to do about her crying first before you do something practical about it. If she's talking to you, she's not asking for a solution. She's talking for affection. But most men cut her short and try to solve the problem. No, she can solve the problem by herself. But she needs somebody to talk to process what is going on. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So for the first few years, I wasn't emotionally available. Hallelujah, thank you. We'll deal with that in totality tomorrow to see the differences. I wasn't emotionally available. Even though I was a relationship coach and all that, but I'm a man's man. Men don't, the way women treat things, not the way women treat things. So I have to start learning by knowledge like this. Start learning that, in cases like this, I need to quickly go to that my booth where the emotion is, and go and let it out. If you don't do that, you'll be the meanest husband ever. Yes. You'll be the meanest husband ever. Yes. You'll be the most emotionally unavailable husband ever. Because to you, are very pragmatic. That's not how the world of women are. Men and women are so different. I don't even know how God on earth expected us to even live together. We are two different creatures. We're not even the same creatures. It's like lion and antelope marrying or elephant. They're not even the same creatures at all. Do you understand? There's practically nothing we have in common. Praise God. So I had to learn how to unleash my emotions. So number one is knowledge. Number two is perspective. Perspective helps you control your emotion. You know, there are many things you think you can't take. When people break a marriage, what they're saying is, I can't take it anymore. It's a lie. There's everything you can take. Like, for instance, when people beat their wife, hit their wife physically, or insult their wife, it's not that they lack control. It's perspective they lack. Because if a policeman does the same thing your wife has done, you will not slap him. Especially if it's those outside policemen that don't hear English very well and that are armed. You will not slap him. He will shoot you first before he asks who are you. Do you understand? So those men have self-control when they need to have it. But when it comes to their wife, they think they don't need to have it. It's perspective you need. The moment you have better perspective, you find out that the things you think you can't take, things you think you can't do, you can do it. Most times, Pastor, this is why you realize that most parents, most spouses are great lovers to their kids. The things they need to do to their spouse that they struggle to do, so they do it willingly for their kids. So it's not that you lack ability. It's willingness you usually lack. Most parents will go to any length for their kids. I've seen couples that want to divorce, but also want to love their kids unconditionally. So you have capacity to love unconditionally. My wife always says, don't try to train your husband and love your children. Instead, train your children and love your husband. All right? We'll talk about those ones tomorrow. But the point is that perspective. If you can have a better perspective of why your husband or wife is acting the way they are doing, you'll be able to adjust your emotions. Your emotions are directly connected to your thoughts. Once you have a better perspective, you will feel differently. I said this earlier today, that if I do like this to a Nigerian, he sees this as an insult, and he will insult me back and say, Wakatu, God punish you, because we have been programmed to think this is bad. If I do this to a white man, he too will do like this for me, say, hi. He will think it's greeting. He makes no meaning of it. Why is he not feeling angry? He's not feeling angry because there's nothing registering in his thoughts. Your emotions are controlled by your thoughts. So if you can change your thought pattern, you find that the feelings you have can be changed. All this, I can't take it anymore. You find that you can take it. So Pastor, I went to Dubai for something. So it was Champions League season. So I left my hotel to go and watch a match, you know, in the viewing center in Dubai. So the match ended. Dubai is 3 hours ahead of Nigeria. So the match ended like 10 p.m. Nigerian time, which is like 1 a.m. Dubai time. So when it ended, I had to take a cab back to the hotel where my wife was. So I entered the cab, I sat in front with the taxi driver, and the guy was chewing gum. It's the most irritating thing ever, Pastor, you can ever imagine. He was chewing gum loudly and shaking his head. It was very irritating. I thought this guy would soon stop because I'm in the car now. He didn't stop. I said he would stop in the next few minutes. He didn't stop. After a while, I couldn't take it anymore. I just burst out and said, what kind of behavior is this? The motivational speaker and me came out. You can't take your passengers and take them through this. It's not ethical. It's not professional. It's not good customer. I was giving motivational speech and scolding the guy that you can't be doing chewing gum that loudly in a cab. And when I finished talking, you know what the guy said? The guy said he's usually on night shift like this, which starts around 12 midnight to early in the morning. And this means that he usually sleeps in the daytime. But on this particular day, he could not sleep. So as he's driving me now, he's sleepy. That's why he's chewing the gum. I said, start to chew now. Loudly chew, let me hear you. If you have, give me, I will chew with you. We will chew together till we get to where we are going. I'm not planning to die today. Chew this gum, my friend. My emotions suddenly what? Changed. Same thing that was irritating me began to what? Excite me. Because I knew it was saving my life. That's how flaky your emotions are. The moment your perspective changes, you find that your feelings can change. Never subject yourself to your feelings. Never do it. All right? So, the key to intimacy is managing your emotions. So, sometimes your spouse will offend you. Instead of letting that be the beginning of malice, let it go. You will address it later. Patience. Later, when everything is fine. Do your best not to cause those breakages. Those breakages actually slow down the intimacy process, because every time you break, you have to restart to build again. So sometimes you need to learn to forgive, let go of something. Don't always hold, you offend me, I must hold it until we talk. You know, women do that a lot, because in the mind of women, they must address everything. I will explain this again tomorrow. A woman's mind has a way it works, different from a man's mind. Men can compartmentalize. This means everything is in a different box, like I told you, in a man's life. What is going through in the office is in a box. What is going through with business is in a box. Everything is separate. A woman's mind is one big box. Everything is inside the box, and they are constantly moving around. So if you offend her, it's difficult for her to put it anywhere. It is hovering in her mind 24 hours, 7 days a week. She needs to address it. That's why you manage your emotions. You calm down till the opposite is right. You want to address it now. Left to the man, he wants to push it away. Men don't have any space for memory in their mind. Women have very large space. This is why a woman can remember something you did to her many years ago. She has storage. You men don't have storage. So that's why a man's favorite words is let's move on. It's not because he's nice. He has nowhere to store this problem. So he will just say, let's move on. Nowhere to store it. But a woman has storage. Big one. So everything you have ever done to her, sir, even though she has forgiven you, is still alive and well inside that bag. You must always distract her. Because anytime you don't distract her, if she goes to that box, she will talk about both today's own. And because they are all in the same box, hovering around. So it's impossible for her to go to that box and not see all the things you have ever done. That's why sometimes when I talk to the woman, you don't know whether she's talking about the past or present or future. Because they are all the same. They are all the same, all right? So you must, as a woman, manage your emotions. As a man, you too need to manage your emotions. There are times you don't want to be emotional. There are times you don't want to be soft. But if you're going to deal with a woman, you must learn to put on that, open that box and become emotional and read her. Something happened when we traveled to Asaba to preach. House of Rock Asaba to preach. And my wife is careful with every other thing except her AirPods. You know these Apple AirPods. I've bought her about 4 or 5. Ah. Okay, 3. 3 or 4. Are you sure it's no more than 3?
3, no. Okay. In fact, it's 2. Someone else bought 1.
Okay, but you've bought 3 times. She always places her AirPods. She always misses. So the last one she has, actually sent somebody that brought to buy it, and they wrote her name on it, everything. Because she always misplaces it. But this one, I was hoping she, because I bought it specially, wrote her name, her middle name, and everything in it. So we got to Asaba, and she began to look for it. She began to look for it. I was just saying, She began to search, call PA, call everybody, what's going on? Call Epis, what's going on? I said, if you lost this thing. And in my mind, I wanted to say, why are you? Because that's natural reaction. You see, that's what I feel like doing at the time. Say, why are you so careless with this airport? I mean, it was here. I wanted to say it. I'm teaching you how to manage your emotions. I wanted to say it, and the Holy Ghost just kept telling me, don't say it. Later, interestingly, the next day, she picked up the bed sheet and she found it on the bed. AirPods on the bed. And she said, I know you wanted to tell me that yesterday that I'm always careless with this AirPods. She said, if you had, because she was really frustrated that yesterday. That the other day, said, if you had said it, I would have cried. You see, the Holy Spirit knew that if I had said it, she would have cried. The Holy Spirit helped me to avert all that drama. Because again, when she started crying, it's on that different drama. So the Holy Ghost, just by saying, don't say what you feel like saying. You know what causes the problem in most marriages? People are saying what they feel like saying. You want to talk, and the Holy Ghost says, don't rebuke him. Don't correct him. Don't answer him. Don't reply him. But you say, no, I must reply. And when you reply, there's explosion and fire catch everywhere. All right, go ahead.
Okay, in fact, a good rule of thumb for what he said about not saying what you feel like saying is to always ask yourself, this thing I want to say, does it have to be said? And then even if I have to say it, does it have to be said now? You know, that will save your marriage. So many things are causing problems. If you ask yourself, before you open your mouth, just ask yourself, this thing, should I even say it? And even if I want to say it, should I say it now? It will save
And even the
your
way
marriage.
To say it.
Yes.
Because you might make the same point. Part of the under rules of managing your emotion is to practice the pause. Like yes. I said, I don't have time to go into all how to manage your emotion, but one thing is managing the pause. You must always have the pause. If you pause for anything you want to say, you will say better. Check every time you've replied suddenly. You always regret all the things you said. If you can just pause for a few minutes, your brain will settle down to rephrase the same point, but you say it in a better way. But if you say it at the spur of the moment, you usually will say it in a hurtful way. And for men especially, the thing you tell your wife, be careful, you have a right to remain silent. For anything you say, will be used against you throughout this marriage.
Okay, so the next point is A, advancement. If you want to build intimacy, you must be personally and consciously involved in advancing each other's dreams and goals. That's one of the easiest ways to build intimacy. You're always intimate with someone who you know is rooting for you, someone who is supporting you, someone who is not intimidated by your success. That's real intimacy. When you know that your partner will do anything to move you to the next level. And the truth is, when it comes to advancement, it cannot be one-sided. It cannot be only one person making sacrifices. If not, even if that person offers to consistently make those sacrifices, after a while, they will become bitter. And usually this happens a lot to women. So you have a lot of bitter women in marriages. And they're just going along with it. And their husband thinks, oh, she's a great wife, but you guys are not building intimacy. She feels like she's a slave. She feels like she's your help, but she doesn't feel loved in return. So when it comes to building intimacy, one of the things you must work on helping the other person advance. It must be mutual, okay? It must be mutual. The Bible says that two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. If you are actively helping each other to move forward, then your intimacy will grow. So over the years, one of the things that I've noticed is that we have consistently helped each other grow. So like I was sharing this morning, I used to be very, very introverted. I would die first before I would stand in front of a crowd to speak. But my husband was insistent in grooming me. He kept saying, you are too strong. The things you tell me at home, no, it shouldn't just be here. We need to be pushing these things out. He kept doing that until I became more confident. Sometimes he did it the way I didn't really like, and which is one of the things I must say. Sometimes you need to help your partner advance, even if they don't like how you do it sometimes. And let me explain, okay? I want to explain that before somebody says I said something. Let me explain that. I'll give you an example. So for me, because I'm naturally a shy person,